Sagemont Church is a gathering of Christian believers in the southeast area of Houston, Texas. Today's message is from our senior pastor, Dr. John Morgan.
I'm going to start a new series. It could be the most important series that I have ever preached in my lifetime. The older I get, the more concerned I am about the imminent things that are going to happen and are happening, and how they are very, very clearly related to the Scripture. We are hearing over and over and over and over and over, it's time for change. We've heard that for 10 years. Hope and change, hope and change. And it doesn't matter who's at the White House, hope and change, hope and change. Everybody that's been a Christian for any length of time should know that passage of Scripture that very clearly says that Jesus is coming again, and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And when it happens, the King James reads, and we shall all be what? Will be changed. What we're seeing today, from my position and opinion, is little by little, everybody's getting involved in saying change is needed. Something bad is going on. And the victims of that is happening literally go around the world. God has put us in the greatest land on the face of the earth. There's only one other nation that's ever been founded for religious reasons, and that's the nation of Israel. And God put Israel on this earth for a purpose. Israel's purpose was to do the will of God. We're going to be looking at that. And then the second nation was America. And America was established for the purpose of doing the will of God. I don't care what they say on the news. History has recorded it. This nation was founded for the purposes of God. God had a plan for America to get started. And God promised to bless this land because its leaders understood that God had a purpose for America. And He blessed it for an unbelievable length of time. The history of a nation, of the length of time that a nation has been on the planet throughout all of history, the average is 200 years. So our nation is 235 years old. We've passed that by 35 years. But there's no question that what happened to Israel is happening to America. America and Israel in the 8th century was destroyed by a terrorist organization. And what is happening in America is leading us to the same conclusion. There was one thing offered to Israel that would change the course of their land, and they refused it. The same thing is being offered to America. And from the signs that I see, we are refusing it. We do not understand that what's happening is not whatever will be. That might be your favorite song, but it is not prophecy. And it is not Scripture. The Bible tells us in two situations, one in ancient times and one in modern times, how God operates. And so this series is going to be a very, very dramatic one. It will be a series that I predict that even while I'll be preaching, you'll see people get up and walk out. But the prophets had that happen in the Old Testament, and the disciples had it in the New Testament, and the closer we get to the truth, we're going to have it, because the Bible says narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. And America cannot keep from thinking like Israel thought. And we're going to see this very, very clearly. I am going to make a trip in the next, either this coming week or the next week, to New York City. I've had the privilege of making contact with a man that wrote the book, The Harbinger, that is one of the books that just It's awesome. I'm going to give you a bibliography to write to read later. But I made contact with the author of that best-selling book, and I'm going to meet him in New York City. We're trying to get our dates together. I'm going to go in on one night, spend the day. I'm going to go to Ground Zero. I'm going to go to what's around Ground Zero. I'm going to go and see the things that are so very obvious prophecies from Scripture that he has pointed out, but I want to lay my eyes on them. I don't want it to be hearsay. I don't want to be, I saw it on the news. You know, I want to see it for my own eyes, because the prophecies of the Old Testament are so unbelievably in detail as to everything that has happened in this country since 9-1-1. Everything from the fall of the stock market 7 years to the day that the tower was hit, the stock market and Wall Street fell. All of that is biblical prophecy. All of it is timed by Scripture. And so I'm going to just have to go as far as I can go when time runs out. You know, like I tell people that this sermon is kind of like baloney. We're just going to cut it off when we get to the time, you know, and then we'll just have to pick it up. But I hope you'll stay with me. I hope when you're not here, you'll go by and pick up the CD of the message. For those of you that watch on the internet, if you miss, I hope some way you will get a fill in the blank. Because I want you to get the truth that is so clearly presented in Scripture, and the answer. There is an answer. The judgment of God has not fallen on America, but the warnings are catastrophic in number. If I heard the news this morning right, and I think I did, Sunday morning is very busy around my house like it is yours, and I catch the news by walking through the room going to do something else. But if I heard right, 100 tornadoes hit this country yesterday. 100 yesterday. And all of the things that we're seeing on the news day by day, from the political world, from the environmental world, from the financial world, from the military world, you name the area, and it's all in the Scriptures, and every single one are doing exactly what the Scripture said would take place. And most of the people just believe the answer is in things that do not hold the answer. There is one hope for America, and that's for it to come back to God. Israel had that choice. They chose to worship other gods, and they fell. 8th century. Now let's get to the right now. I want to open today by reading to you God's covenant with Abraham. I'm going to let you remain seated because I want to move very quickly. I have a lot to cover, and I'm sure I'll run out of time before I get through. But I want you to listen. I don't want you to be distracted in any way this morning. Listen to the book of Genesis, chapter 12. That's where the story begins. Verse 1, "Now the Lord said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Then in Exodus, the next book, chapter 32, the story moves to another man that you remember. His name was Moses. In verse 7, listen to this. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people, which you have brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them. And then I will make you a great nation. On September the 11th, 2001, America's walls of protection fell. They were breached by terrorists. The event was unprecedented in American history of 225 years at that time. The most sophisticated defense system ever developed failed. And Flight 11, American Airlines, hit the North Tower of the financial center of the world, the World Trade Center. A few minutes later, United Airlines Flight 175 hit the South Tower. A little later, American Airlines Flight 77 hit the Pentagon. And a little later, United Airlines Flight 93 was brought down in a field. You remember the story. You remember Todd Beamer. You remember him talking to the person with the airline and then asked to notify his wife, and they had the same name, Lisa, that they were going to try to take the cockpit. And who will ever forget the statement, "Okay, let's roll." If you've forgotten, just a moment, I want you to look at the screen. We may have a problem. Let's go ahead. We'll not. You remember the planes hitting the tower, the plane hitting the tower. I wanted to show you that, but I want you to bring it up in your mental capacity right now. You remember what happened? Let me give you USA Today headlines. Military and civilians unprepared for September 11 attack. Now, my question to you is this. Were you surprised? I was in the bathtub. I remember exactly where I was. Beth hollered that it looked like a plane had hit the tower. I was surprised. My question is, was God surprised? Did that slip up on God? Did American Airlines, United Airlines, there's a lot of airlines up there. You kind of put those two together and you kind of began to get some kind of a subtle picture. But a holy God, listen to me, never has, never will tolerate an unrepentant, sinful people. Amen. Now, I don't know why in America we think he will do so, but he will not. He has said very clearly over and over and over, "I'm a holy God. And I want a holy people. And I will help them be holy. I will allow myself to come and live in their life through my son Jesus." But holiness is required. Usually, calamity has to come before repentance. Maybe always. And it has to come before reform. David prayed in the 86th Psalm. Let me just read a little bit of this, and you can go home and complete it, beginning with the 7th verse. The scripture says that in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou answerest me. Among the gods there is none like you, O Lord, neither are there any works like your works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name, for thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name, and I will praise you, O Lord my God. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man that knew what it was like to be a part of horrific sin and yet be broken and humbled and repentant and come and cry out to God to return to Him the joy of His salvation and to create in Him a clean heart, because He knew His heart had hardened. He knew that sin had come because He had forsaken a holy God. A light-hearted optimism can lure an individual or a nation to ruin. What is happening in our country today can be traced back 2,500 years ago. Our government does not know, nor should it be expected to know, what's wrong with America. That's not their job. Their job is to govern the nation, but God has entrusted to a people, His people, those that are born again, a message. That message is in 66 books. That message is so clear that a child could understand it. I read Wednesday night, an 8-year-old was here last week in the audience. We had the children come over. And she wrote that in her little note, that I hope everybody believes in the Holy God and will accept Him as personal Savior. She said it in her words, but that's what she said, 8 years old. The key to America having a bright future is not in the hands of Wall Street. It's not in the hands of the United States Marines or Army or Air Force or Coast Guard or Navy. It is not in the financial institutions or the political parties. The future of America is in the hands of the people of God. And it's called the church. And the church is the number one attack now of Satan's terrorist. Your young people, your children are being told, and they're reading day by day, there's no purpose for a church anymore. Just get a little group on Sunday, have a weenie roast in the backyard, read a scripture, have a little Bible study, and call that church. And they're hearing that, not only from the secular world, but from the spiritual world. False prophecy that has said the bride of Christ is not necessary for the will of God to be done. And yet the Lord loved the church, died for the church. He's coming back for the church. He called it His body. It is the bride of Christ. And yet people say church is irrelevant today. It would be one thing if the world was saying that. It's a tragic thing when theologians start talking that way. Big difference. But God sent prophets. Remember, He sent Isaiah, He sent Nehemiah, He sent Jeremiah, He sent Amos, He sent Ezekiel, and others to warn a nation of its future. Warnings come now. Judgment will come later. It's appointed unto man once to die. We're not individually under the judgment of God. We're being warned by God, but after we die, we'll be under the judgment of God. And the judgment will be, what'd you do with my son, Jesus Christ? That will be the question. And those two nations that I mentioned a while ago, one has gone through it for years. They are the one little nation. If you come on Wednesday night, you hear Stuart mention this over and over and over again. The most hated people in the world are Israel, and the second most hated are the United States of America. And we may be walking side by side. In the Old Testament, God spoke through the prophets. In this generation, God has chosen to call preachers and evangelists and teachers. Let me tell you what He's called them to do. He has called them to preach and teach, and missionaries to go share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were never called to make people feel good. We were never called to try to help people understand how to get along and live in sin without any guilt. And how to find a way of escape without repentance. The prophets came to preach the word of God so people could know the truth and the truth would set them free. But the prophets were rejected. And Bible preachers are becoming a collector's item today, because they do not fill the buildings. Those that fill the buildings are those that teach people how to live in their sin and to not be uncomfortable with it, even though God will bring judgment on a sinful nation or a sinful individual that does not confess their sin, recognize that it's sin, repent of it, and do what God put them here to do. The written word of God through the prophets meant a lot to the people of Israel one time, and Judah, the northern and the southern kingdom. Israel knew that to ignore God's voice was catastrophic, but they did it anyway. Sometimes God would speak through a dream. Sometimes it's through a vision. Sometimes it was through a sign, like the prophet calling down fire from heaven and watching as the fire was consumed. And the people cried, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Yes. Israel forgot how they got started. America's forgetting how it got started because nobody's teaching our kids how it got started. We're very seriously in our church looking at a new ministry, a new program to teach our children how this nation got started. Yes. I don't know if you think your children need that, you might write a note to us. Because they're not getting that anymore. The pressure is being put to be all things to all people and forget the truth and just try to put something out there that makes it palatable for everybody. But it's the truth that sets us free. But Israel had forgotten. America's forgotten too. Judges chapter 3, verse 7. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord, their God, and they served Balaam." Hosea 8:14, "For Israel had forgotten his maker and builds temples, and Judah has multiplied fenced cities, and I will send fire upon their cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof." Isaiah 17:9, "In that day shall his strong cities be as forsaken bough, and an uppermost branch which they left because of the children of Israel, and there shall be desolation. Because you have forgotten the God of your salvation, and have not been mindful of the rock of your strength. Therefore shall you plant pleasant plants, and shall set it with strange slips." Israel, purpose was to do the will of God. America's purpose, Matthew 28:19-20. To go to the uttermost parts of the earth. What you saw a while ago with this group fixing to go to Kenya, a land that God loves, a God where there are millions of people that will walk 4 hours to hear one sermon in their whole lifetime through the bush of Africa. I've been there. I've seen it with my own eyes. They're so hungry for truth. And America sits back and says, "But we're America. We're the good old USA. We're entitled to the blessings of God, even though we have chosen to forsake Him." Psalm 103, verse 9, "He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever." Israel continued to use God's name, but there was no meaning to it. Have you noticed how many people use God's name today in profanity? Do you understand how many men and women now, when they get upset or whatever, is the only time they use God's name? And after that, they put the word damn. Yes. That's America. Yes. That's a macho man and a woman that wants to know she's been liberated. And I can be just as filthy with my mouth as any man that wants to come up and compete with me. But Israel was so careless in turning away from God. At first, you barely noticed it. But it wasn't long before the grace of God was abused. And the people brazenly began to move God out of their public life. And the enemies of God were not wise enough to understand that the protection and the provision that Israel once had was coming down. But they waited like vultures. They waited for that moment because they could see they could see that the showers of blessings were falling on the just and they were falling on the unjust. But the people did not know the source of their supply. God was blessing Israel, and Israel did not know. America has been blessed by God in unprecedented ways, but somehow we are now saying, but it had nothing to do with our God. It had to do with the American spirit. Let me give you some examples. Israel covenants were being broken. Today, the same thing is happening. Our documents, our Bill of Rights, our Constitution, you name it, it's all under attack to come down. The people of Israel began to have the morality of animals. Excuse me, that is exactly what's happening in America. Exactly. Their value system was thrown aside. Flesh replaced the spirit. The things of the flesh drew people, and the things of the spirit began to dwindle. Some could not even believe what they were doing to themselves. Holiness became profane in Israel. Righteousness was replaced with ungodliness. And listen to this. You probably won't believe a nation could do this. But Israel began to sacrifice their children, even their unborn children, to the altars of Baal and Molech. Can you imagine a nation killing its babies? Israel did. And America now has passed the 60 million mark in killing its unborn. A God that has said so much about little children. Greatest in the kingdom are the little ones. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. If you offend one of these little ones, it'd be better if a millstone were hung around your neck. And I'm preaching today in just a few miles of the biggest abortion center in the world. It's right here in Houston, Texas. A godly city? I don't think so. A city that is entitled to the blessings of God? I don't think so. But thank God we do have some good churches in this city. But those churches better come back and realize why they're here, why they are still here. And by the way, their churches are folding unbelievably. 138 have been foreclosed on this year in the United States. 138. Not one church until 2006 was ever foreclosed on by a mortgage company. But now, this year, already 138. Yes, it's falling. It's falling. What was once right in Israel was now wrong. What was relevant became outdated. What was intolerant was now tolerated. Immorality became sacred, and their God was no longer welcomed in public life. The God who had given them life and the opportunity to enjoy the world he had created and given to them was now rejected. A God that was once worshipped was now cursed, and yet the mercy and grace of God was poured out on that rebellious people. God's prophets or spokesmen, many of them were silenced. That's probably coming to our land. They were labeled as troublemakers, dangerous, radicals, enemies of the state, chastened, condemned. But one thing to their credit, God's spokesman never ceased doing what they were put here to do. They cried out to the very moment that Israel fell. They begged Israel to repent. They cried out with empathy. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, all through history of Israel, it was there. There was a voice. There was a voice. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin. And I will heal their land. But not until my people humble themselves and pray. Amen. Let me tell you something, folks. This is the absolute truth. God's people that say they're God's people, if they would turn their back on sin, most of that industry would fall flat on its face. Amen. Christians pack the places of sin. Christians put their dollars, they don't give to the church, many of them. 80% of church members don't give a nickel to a church. But they pour their money in the places of entertainment and sin all over the globe and all over the land and all over the counties and all over the cities. And we think God is so foolish, he don't get it. God said, I told you it's going to happen. It is happening. Now I'm warning you, God says. I'm warning you. My spirit will not always strive with a man. Let me tell you something. God's a God of mercy, not judgment. You know what God wants? God wants us to repent. He didn't want to judge us. He didn't want to judge you. That's the reason he says now is accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. That's the reason he says that. You know why? Because he wants you to be saved, forgiven today. And you want to say, well, I'm thinking about it. I'm praying about it. But I'm just not ready at a more convenient season. 732 BC, the enemies, the Assyrian terrorists, invaded Israel and the walls came down. 732 BC, the wall of protection. See, God has built a wall of protection around Israel for a while. And the same thing with America. Read its history. Read the times. All the way back to Valley Forge, America walls stood. But on September 1st, they didn't stand. On September 11th of 01. I know that Israel forgot God. I know that America has forgotten God. You know what people were hollering on 911? Where's God? Where's God? Do you remember those days? Do you remember that congressman leaving their cocktail parties and coming out on the steps and singing, God bless America? In 1 minute, their deal was over. They'd been all the spirituality they could handle. Now it's back to the same old, same old. Do you remember where you were and how many people were in church that next Sunday? People were standing up on that balcony. The next week, they weren't standing on the balcony, but the seats were full. The third week, they were right back to normal. That's the phoniness of Christianity in this country. It is a mockery to a holy God. That's the reason this new building, we're going to have some time before we ever start a service when God's people are going to have a chance to humble themselves and pray and see God's face. And the God of judgment is a God of mercy, and if you need comfort, he will comfort you. If you need direction, he will give you direction. If you want protection, he will give you protection, but you must meet his conditions. That is imperative. And I want the word to get out everywhere. When our worship service starts in that new building, when the time to worship starts, the doors will be closed for 15 minutes. We are not going to make a mockery of what we call church. I'll get there when I want to. I'll be 10 minutes late. And those that are trying to worship, I'll disturb them and disturb them and disturb them and disturb them. That will not work. That will not work. Now, you may run me out of town, but I'm going to stand by that. I believe the people of God that want to worship ought to have a place to worship. And if we don't have enough discipline to come to church, how are you going to keep a job? They expect you to be there at 8 o'clock, not 8:10, not 8:15, not 8:20. Are you going to be talking to somebody? Now, we'll let you in, but it's going to be after we've had some time to worship God. And so, please pray about that. That's going to be a sore spot for a lot of people. But God did comfort the brokenhearted. Say, where's God? Hey, he was there. You remember the comfort? You remember how he guided some of those rescue people to the spot? Do you remember how he comforted those? We had one of our own members was in the tower and got out. You remember, was going to go back to south tower, and God said, run. Oh, God was there. God was guiding, but warning had come. And all of a sudden, God has wakened America. and made it understand. No longer can you tell people the enemy has never, ever attacked us on our soil. We are tough America. You ought to see our military. We can hold them out. And after Israel's attack, and things, 3 weeks later, we're back to normal. The hands that paused to play taps were back in the dance halls and drinking and cursing, and people that had forgotten God. You know what it's like? Did you ever have an alarm clock and it go off and you reached over and turned it off? And then what'd you do? You went back to sleep. That's where we are right now. We've turned it off. We're back to sleep. We're back in our apathy. We're back in believing that our grandchildren are going to enjoy the same America that we enjoyed. It ain't going to happen unless we have revival. And it's in the hands of the people of God. When calamity came to Israel, everybody suffered. Same thing here, the just and the unjust. 9-1-1, yeah, some of the terrorists were killed or flying the planes, but so were a lot of innocent people. Abraham Lincoln had to deal with the Civil War that devastated our nation. Hundreds of thousands were killed in the Civil War. Just a brief quote. I'll be quoting him more in the sermons to come. He said, "Judgment of a righteous judge on a sinful nation," is the way he described the Civil War. Judgment of a righteous judge on a sinful nation. And you know the problems that led to the Civil War and the sins that caused that war to happen. Before we dismiss, I want to read you one scripture. If you've ever listened to a scripture in your life, I want you to listen to this. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 10. The bricks are falling down. Now, this is right after Israel falls. Listen to this. The bricks have fallen down. But we will rebuild with hewn stones. The sycamores is cut down, but we'll change them into cedars. To set the course for the coming messages, the bricks are falling. That word, hewn, means polished stone. The tower fell. What happened? We will rebuild. What happened every day after? What were those congressmen saying? What was Daschle saying? What did John F.? They used this scripture. See, they didn't read the scripture before this. You see, which talks about their pride and their stoutness of heart. They said, the bricks have fallen, but we will rebuild with hewn stones. See, they didn't read that. John Edwards, Daschle. They read this scripture, one on the day of it, and one the third day after read that very scripture, not knowing the bricks fell, but we will rebuild. That's what we've been doing. What we've been rebuilding with. There's a 20-ton polished stone right there. That's what I'm going to go look at. I'm going to go look. The sycamores have fallen. Any sycamores around Ground Zero? Yes, they are. Where was it? It was in the yard of the church, the chapel, where George Washington put his hand on the Bible and took the oath of office and said that God will bless this nation as long as this nation loves and worships God. That's where there was a sycamore tree at 911. The sycamore will fall. But by the way, that tree has been replanted. Unbeknowing to those that replanted it, it's a cedar tree. Oh, I'm sure it's a coincidence. I'm sure that it's just some landscaper that had a deal. No. It's prophecy being fulfilled. We are walking in the exact steps. And find out when the stock market fell in your research this week. It fell 7 years to the day after 9-1-1. God is not fooling around today, folks. Amen. Enough is enough. There's time for judgment to begin at the house of God. Most people won't want to be on that, but those that do are in for a real blessing. Yes. As the world is still shaking its head, folks, I know that most of you have no idea But that building out there that's been built in the worst economy that you've ever seen and paid for, there's not a person in this country that's heard that story, including the man that wrote the Harbinger, that is being done today. I believe God is preparing this church to stand in the gap when the people of God, which are called by His name, will humble themselves and pray and learn to worship and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways and hear from God. God can use a church to change a nation. So I hope you're more committed to coming to church than voting right. But vote right. You bet you're supposed to vote. But I'm just telling you, they don't have it in Washington. They have it in heaven, and it's entrusted to the church.
We pray that today's message has brought you to a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Join us Sundays at 8, 9:30, and 11 a.m. at Sagemont Church in the Worship Auditorium. For more information, check us out at www.sagemontchurch.org.